141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of European qualification action for our Scottish clubs. Derek McInnes goes in search of his first Rangers win, one that would see them progress past Jagiellonia Białystok. Motherwell sit level as they welcome Helsinki to Fir Park. Hibs have a lead as they go to North Macedonia. And Hearts against Benfica. Let's just say there's a lot of work for the Jambos to do. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Killian Sheridan and Gordon Dalziel, presumably hot-footing it from here to Fir Park straight after the show.
Yeah, as you quite rightly say there, Gordon, a massive night in Europe for four teams. I think three have got great potential to get through. Obviously, throughout Tynecastle, it's just a case of turning up, seeing your team and seeing how Benfica perform, because that tie as well and truly over. Let's not be kidded here. Big match for Rangers tonight. The support going along to Ibrox will be demanding probably one, a result, first and foremost. Better performance. Just wonder what the starting lineup's going to be. We'll get that later on. And then you look at Hibs, North Macedonia, I fancy them. And Fir Park will be absolutely bouncing. Motherwell with the lead, I think they will go through as well.
They don't have the lead.
Oh, sorry. But I think they will go through comfortably tonight. Do you know that? I really do.
I genuinely thought you were going to turn up with your Jagiellonia Białystok top on. There aren't many former players in the media circuit over here.
I could have brought one for all of us.
You got a couple. Oh, we missed a trick there. Yeah. No forward planning goes into this show. We just wing it every night.
Have you got that many, have you?
I've loaded them, yeah.
And have you got your name in the back of them?
Yep.
What number were you?
18.
Why 18?
9 was taken.
Right, so you multiplied it by two. Why did you not go 99?
Any of your former teammates still in the team?
Yeah, the captain is Taras, the captain, Romanchuk, number 6. And then there's a few. In fact, the manager now was the assistant when I was there. He was only, I think he was only like, he's young now, but he was only about 25, 26 when he was the assistant.
Wow. Been in touch with any of them?
A little bit every now and again, like mostly just through Instagram and that. But I went to meet them earlier on in their hotel, and they are, I would say, quietly confident. They're coming with,
based on what they saw last week, and then maybe having watched at the weekend.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit surprised, they said, by the game last week. I think they were maybe expecting it a little bit tougher, but yeah, not to jinx them, but they're feeling confident.
Usually in this show it's easy. We can just back every Scottish club in Europe. What are the chances that we found a guy that's got a wee foot in the Jagiellonia
especially getting in and getting the feel of how they feel tonight going to Ibrox.
Honestly, what an insight.
So if you're a Rangers fan,
that's
going
the
along,
preparation I do here.
Exactly.
You're starting to get a little bit concerned, aren't you?
No stone unturned. Anyway, there's actually loads of other stuff happening as well. It's not often Celtic would sign a player for about £6.8 million, I think, on a 4-year deal and doesn't make it into the headlines. I just thought we'd give the big build-up to the European games tonight. But Mika Bauer has signed on that 4-year deal from Paderborn, one that the club have been chasing for a while, quite often referred to or assumed to maybe be the replacement for Arne Engels if he goes, but you never know. We'll keep an eye on that one. And maybe a bit more worrying news, because I know you've had loads of good news recently, Celtic fans. In fact, Hasim Hassan, he signed after we finished last night, so that's a new one for you to discuss tonight as well. But it does look like there's an injury to Alistair Johnston. So what does that mean, A, for the Champions League qualifiers, and B, for any potential transfer? So there's plenty for you Celtic fans tonight, even though you're not in action. What do you make of Mika Bauer, Hasim Hassan, Alistair Johnson's injury? Get involved. But to the rest of you, it is very obvious. If you're on your way to a game tonight, or you're settling down to watch it, we are desperate to hear from you, particularly Ibrox, just because of everything that's gone on with the change over the summer, the early season form, the recruitment, the injury to Yusuf Chirmiti and Tour Romans. Are you heading along to Ibrox tonight? You'll be in the car right about now, probably stuck in traffic if I know this city like I think I do. How are you feeling? What's the mood heading to this? I'm sure you had visions that this would be a brilliantly exciting time of the season. So much optimism. The sun's even shining. But maybe you're not quite feeling that tonight as you head along to Ibrox. So do pick up the phone and let us know. Sum up the mood heading there. Can you get the job done tonight? Can you overturn it? What do you think the team should be? Because all the calls we've had all week are saying that Derek McInnes doesn't quite know his best team yet. So do you? What's the best team tonight? How do you solve the Yusuf Chirmite absence? And who plays at left back? There's no Tour Romans. So please pick up the phone right now if you can on 0141 951 1025. Same goes for you Motherwell fans and Hearts fans playing in this part of the world tonight. Hibs are obviously on their travels. If you're going to Fir Park or you're going to Tynecastle, please give us a call. Whilst you get the calls in, and hopefully you do it nice and early, let's start going round a couple of the grounds. Ibrox first. Gabriel is there. What are we expecting tonight, Gabriel?
Hey Gordon, good evening from sunny Ibrox. T-shirt weather for once at a football game in Glasgow. A sense of anticipation here, but also perhaps a little sense of foreboding as well. The feeling for Rangers fans is the season hasn't even really started yet. Derek McInnes winless in the first three games, and there's concern that if things go badly here tonight, it could sour and spiral before we even hit September. McInnes himself was more upbeat yesterday when we spoke to him. He said it's his job to keep spirits up, maintain belief, and that he's fully confident that they have what it takes to turn this tie around. Of course, it's a 2-1 deficit at the moment to the Polish opposition. He feels that a victory and progression could perhaps kickstart their campaign. He's urged his players to play with more risk going forward. He's called for Ibrox to crank up the noise as well, which would be a far cry from the boos here just 4 days ago when they lost to Hibs. Everyone knows how special a place this can be, especially on Thursday nights in recent seasons. Fans just want something to believe in, Gordon. They're looking for a boost from signings as well. A PSV winger, Kuhab Druish, expected to be announced by the weekend, and if you're to believe what Andrew Kavanagh said, up to 4 more signings after that as well. Of course, in the market for a striker after Yusuf Chimiti's ACL injury, they really need to strengthen that back line, as you were talking about as well. Not a fit left-footed defender available. They've only really got 4 first-team defenders available tonight. That'd be McCrory, Sterling, Fernandez and Macania, so you'd probably expect that to be the back four. It'll be really interesting to see what the team news is. Does McInnes change formation again? He's not really found one or a system that works yet. We're expecting the team news in about 5 minutes' time.
Got long to predict the team, but either way, if you're on your way to Ibrox, we'd love to hear from you. 01419511025. Let's take a quick trip to Fir Park as well and set the scene, and then we'll dig straight in on the phones. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, what a night we could be in for here at Fir Park. I'm told over 8,000 tickets have been sold. You'd reckon it will be a pretty expectant crowd as well here after that strong first leg showing over in Helsinki. 1-1, it sits on aggregate with HJK. Motherwell maybe not quite at their best in the first half of that match over in Finland, but looked a lot better after half-time, and that's the type of football that they'll be trying to show tonight. A place in the playoff round of the Conference League awaits. It does seem pretty unfair that the next opponents would be last season's Europa League runners-up Freiburg, but what an opportunity it is ahead for Alfred Johansson and his players. The crowd will be right behind them here in the sunshine in Fir Park. It's a perfect pitch for Motherwell to play some of that attractive, exciting football that we've definitely seen flashes of in the early stages of this campaign. We all know what Motherwell did under Jens Bertolaskou last season. His imprint will last long here at Fir Park. But what a statement night this could be for Alfred Johansson to really get the ball rolling on his era. In terms of team news, like the Rangers game, it's probably going to be out in 4 minutes' time or so, but a big boost that Ibrahim Saeed is back available for this one after missing last week due to a visa issue. That's especially key because Aitor Bjørgolfsson and Apostolos Stamatopoulos are still out. Dylan Williams still missing too.
Yeah, team news very soon. Andrew, keep one seat next to you because one of us will come after the show. You don't need to guess which one, but you only need to just keep it warm for us. We'll hopefully be there with Motherwell 3 up by half time. That would be ideal. 01419511025. David is in Paisley, or somewhere between Paisley and Ibrox. David, is that right?
Yeah, I would say so.
What's the mood?
I know. Honestly, I don't know what to expect going along here tonight. But I want to pick you up on something, Gordon, you said a couple of minutes ago.
Sure.
Where Rangers fans at this stage of the season should be full of optimism and excitement and whatever. Where do you base that on? Because I'll tell you, right, let me make myself abundantly clear before you answer that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I've never been a fan of Derek McInnes, and I never will be. Right, I genuinely won't. I've never rated Lauren Shankland. I don't think I ever will do. But by God, I hope the two of them get it right for my football club, because we've suffered enough. So I really don't understand where you base that on. Because I'll tell you something. See, if you take over a 5-year period, and you go with budgets and you look at Stephen Robinson's record between Motherwell and St Mirren compared to Dennett McInnes, he's got a far superior record to Dennett McInnes. So I'll ask you, Gordon, where do you base that on under Dennett McInnes?
I need to be entirely honest, David. It was just one of those throwaway lines. I never really expected it to be subject of deep analysis. It was just one of those things. It's early in the season. You like to think hopes are high and people are dreaming about what a good season it could be. But you're right, David. If you were fearing the worst ahead of this season, then I stand corrected.
Don't back down, Gordon. Double down.
David, can I ask you, right? I totally get...
So would you have preferred Stephen Robinson in, David?
No, I'm not saying I would have preferred Stephen Robinson in. What I'm saying to you is, in my opinion, we went the cheap option by appointing somebody like Dennett McInnes. So what I'm saying is, if we were going to go the cheap option, in my opinion, Stephen Robinson would have been the better choice. However, if you were asking who should have got the job, then I really don't understand why Kevin Muscat was overlooked again. I can't get my head around why he was overlooked. I do believe that Andrew Kavanagh and the rest of the gang getting into the crowd at Falkirk might have played a part in this when people were shouting, get us McInnes, get us Shanklin, whatever, because they're Rangers men and what have you. And I'll say again, let me say again, I genuinely hope they get it right. I really do pray they get it right. But I've never been a fan of Dennett McInnes. I think his teams are boring to watch. They're all workmanlike with very little quality in the final third of the park. And I do think Lauren Shanklin, he's a very good player at a Hearts level. But Gordon will know, when you step up from somebody like a Hearts or Dundee United to a Rangers or Celtic level, it's a far, far different pressure. And I don't know if Lawrence has got that in his locker to deal with it.
Do you think they will get the job done tonight, David? I mean, I know it sounds pretty doom and gloom from you, but there wasn't much in the game second half last week and so on, was there?
Well, I'm hoping to get it done. I'm genuinely hoping to get it done because like many Rangers fans my age, we've suffered and suffered, and we need something to sort of start building on for this season. So I really do hope he gets it right. Like you guys, I mean, all the other guys that go to the game, you know the drill. You all want to pick the team and you say you think this will be the team and that. I don't know any one of us that's called any one of his starting 11s in all his meaningful games yet. So I really don't know what to expect going in there tonight. But again, I'm hoping that we can get a bit of luck at the very start of the game and then we can build on that. That's all I'm going to the game tonight, just hoping for a bit of luck and we can just build on it. That's the way I see it tonight.
David's entitled his opinions about Dennett McInnes. I've no problem with that at all. And time to come, we'll see if it's right appointment or not. He's not got off to a great start, and it doesn't matter if you're looking about thinking, right, we're rebuilding, new players in, and we're trying to change one or two things. When you're at Rangers in the seasons that you've had, you've got to probably hit the ground running and you've got to go off to a good start. Rangers haven't got off to a good start. I don't see a lot in them just now. There's a lot of improvement to come. Transfer window's not closed. I totally agree. I couldn't guess. You'd probably guess the goalkeeper in the back four tonight because I think the left back's forced on him. I think
that's still quite a debate.
Well, who's got to play at left back tonight?
That's what I'm asking.
But he's only got Sterling that really can play there.
Dan Neil, maybe?
Well, I doubt it. I think McCrory would play probably right back. I think, is it Gabs at Ibrox that mentioned the back four?
Oh, go on, Gabs, right on cue. Put us out of misery.
Yeah, plenty of changes from Dennett McInnes as expected, and we're not really sure yet if it is a back four or a back three. But it will be Pando in goal. I'll give it to you as if it is a back four. We're going Dujon Sterling right back, Fernandez and McCagney at centre-half, Dan Neil at left-back, the two wide players, Yokota and Gassama, Nico Raskin and Tello Asgard in the middle, and two up top, Shankland and Nadiri. Of course, it could be a back three as well, with perhaps Yokota and Gassama wing-backs in a 3-5-2, but it could be anything. You know McInnes likes to be flexible anyway. The substitutes, Kelly, McCrory, Hutton, Dragijevic, Devlin, Chukwuanyi, Barron, Cameron, McCausland, Curtis, Glasgow, Miowski.
So the back three would be Sterling, Fernandez and McCagney.
Sterling left back. and possibly Dan Neil right back.
I think he's played left back at Sunderland before. Because and you're about to accuse me of knowing that.
No, I'm bowing to your superior knowledge. I like that.
No, I mentioned it last night. I had just seen it mentioned that he previously filled
I'd
in.
I never
there
knew
at
that he'd played left back. But
either way, David, there you go. You said it was hard to guess. Would you have come up with that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, I do think he'll probably go to a back three, and I would use the two wingers as my wing backs. I'm going to be brutally honest. Everybody knows me, I was a massive James Taverney fan, right? All the haters of James Taverney, I'll give it another couple of games and they'll all be screaming to get him back, because we are now subjected to either Dujon Sterling or Ross McCrory, and not being disrespectful to the guys, but two of the worst footballers I've ever seen in my life in a Rangers jersey. And they absolutely, I really don't know what Derek's trying to do in that position. I thought that would have been one of the positions that he would absolutely have been priority for him in the summer. Because, let's be honest, replacing James is a hard job at the best of times. He's assists and goals and whatever. And I just feel, okay, Romans is not in the team tonight, but I just feel we've went 180 degrees now, whereas it always used to go up Taverney's side. It was James that was bombing up and down the right-hand side. Now we've switched it to the left-hand side and we're trying to use our full-back, and we've already burnt the left-back out already, and only what, four games of the season or something, because he's getting nothing in front of him. So, you know, I know it's maybe unlucky for Derek in the sense that Jermite get injured and what have you, but I do think he's brought a little bit on himself with the way he's been playing Romans, because Romans has more or less played every single minute of every single game, even in pre-season as well. So, you know, he has to take a wee look at himself for that as well.
Thank you very much to David and Paisley. His namesake is somewhere also nearing Ibrox from Uddingston this time. David, are you as concerned as your namesake, or are you finding a bit more optimism for tonight?
I wouldn't say I'm optimistic. I'd like to think I'm optimistic, but I was listening there, and you were saying that the other team are quietly confident, and I can understand why they would be. I think Big Chirmiti with the injury is a total disaster for us, if I'm being honest with you. I was kind of really hoping that he was going to kick on this season and show flashes of what he showed last season in a mere consistent basis, but I just think with him being injured, we just lack that raw pace. Shanklin's a great finisher, but I think you need to get the ball to him in the box for him to do what he does best. And then Nadiri, he's a workhorse, he will work all day, but I just don't think he's got the quality that we're going to that Chirmita had. I hope the crowd can get right behind them and give them that extra 10%, because I think they're going to need it, and I think we're going to need to try and get an early goal.
Don't get me wrong, Killian, you could say this for any player in the Rangers team probably at this stage, but it does feel like Chirmiti and Nadiri and Shankland could be doing with a big evening.
Yeah, definitely. I think no more, I think, like you've just said, no more than anyone else or Derek McInnes. They just need that first one. I think it's, you see it every time, that a start for new managers, especially at Rangers and Celtic, the start is so crucial. It gets people on board, it gets a bit of confidence, some sort of momentum. You get off on the back foot, you're then constantly fighting against the pressure that comes with it, the onslaught of everyone suddenly now is, not suddenly, but people are then against the appointments and against players, when, to be honest, at the start of the season, everything looked, you'd kind of look at them and be like, yeah, that seems like the right appointment. They were getting all the signings in early. Everything seemed quite positive. And then you just get that poor start, and then suddenly everything becomes catastrophe.
Looking at it right, I don't say, the team seems to be, we couldn't second guess that team, right? You look at that team, for me, it's all over the place again. I know that it's forced because of the Chirmiti thing, but Nadiri and Kasama started at Tannadice in the first game season. They get hooked at half time. 45 minutes, they were off. because it was all over the place. This is massive for Derek McInnes tonight, because look, he's not going to get sacked if he loses it, but he is starting to come under a little bit of pressure. There are a few doubters out there. That's what happens when you take massive jobs like Rangers and Celtic. You've got to win games. Doesn't matter about this rebuilding nonsense and we're bringing new players in. You've got to win games. I'm a bit surprised with the team.
Stick your neck in the line, David. Are you going through?
Yes.
Don't mind it. Don't mind your optimism. Thank you, David, from Uddingston. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls until 8. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. The team news is starting to come in from the big European qualifiers. The phone lines just lit up when that Rangers team was announced, so we'll stick with that in just a second. Any Motherwell fans out there, listen to this team from Andrew McLean and give us your thoughts. Andrew?
Yeah, probably a bit less debate about how Motherwell are going to line up for this one. They do make four changes though. Sparrow, Knight, LaBelle, Vogt and Booth drop out. In come Johnny Katrumbis for his first start of the season. Gerwyd Reich, Charles Cook and Lowry are in as well. So Alex Paulson in goal. The back four, Johnny Katrumbis, Jacob Gerwyd Reich, Martin Moorman and Mari Longello. The two holding midfielders, Lucas Fadinger and Oscar Priestman, with Regan Charles Cook, Alex Lowry and Ibrahim Said in behind. Tawanda Maswanise. The substitutes for Motherwell tonight: Connolly, McConnell, Knight, LaBelle, Wilson, Ross, White, Booth, McAllister, Hunter, Thompson, Weir and Vogt.
Oh great, that'll be the third choice captain Tom Sparrow injured as well by the sounds of it then.
Yeah.
For goodness sake.
But we don't mourn, we'll get on with it. Maswanise tonight, goal scorer, great goal.
See, when you lose all those players in the summer, you could do the ones that are left behind to be fit.
Listen, Motherwell got a good squad and they've got a guy. Listen, how important is that penalty kick from Maswanise last week? I think that'll be the one that takes us through.
Creative bench, Hunter Thompson.
Just look at the blank expression on Dale's face.
I am seriously right over my Hunter Thompson. What is that?
Never mind. Right, we'll get back to that. James is in Drumchapel. James, how are you?
I'm alright, guys. Yourselves?
Good, thanks, James. What did you think when you heard that Rangers team?
That I'm going here now. I think I'm going to be watching the game through closed fingers. I think, because I think it's a. I just don't understand why he's giving Gassama yet another chance, because I think the guy, I don't think he looked dangerous with a sawn-off shotgun. I just think he looks absolutely lost of ideas. He runs at people, stops, turns back, loses the ball, falls at his own feet, blitzers a ball out the park. We'll then go a chance of Dan Neal playing at left back. Now, again, people were on about Derek McInnes, so he'll come in and he'll sort stuff. What's he sorted? Their defence again still looks like they're going to burst out greeting when they've got fast wingers or strikers running at them. We go to pieces in the box. Fernandez is trying cross turns on his own penalty spot. McInnes hasn't sorted anything, and like the first caller said, I've never liked Derek McInnes, and I always said that I never wanted him as a Rangers manager. He has sorted nothing. He has brought in bang average players, let's be honest. For me, I can't see this going any further than him being out the door by Christmas. I hope I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, I will hold my hands up and say I got it wrong. But I just don't know where Rangers go for here. Playing Hibs at the weekend, he said in the paper, wait till you see my Rangers team. You'll see my Rangers team today. If that's his Rangers team, then God help us.
Can you imagine James and the first caller David sitting next to each other at Ibrox?
Yeah,
everybody within a 50-yard
radius
is in for a tough, tough night. But look, it's just two callers. But you know that, like, people are phoning in at random, all quite like annoyed before they've even got to the game. I do think there's something in that about how many people are already
nervous,
losing their minds from a Rangers frustration.
It's just because of what's happened over the years with the club, Gordon. We've seen it last year as well, Russell Martin at the beginning. Rangers fans thought that with the new ownership, the manager, and okay, first two callers tonight, don't rate Derek McInnes, but a lot of Rangers fans going along the game do think he was the right appointment. He was well backed. I think he's brought in what, 10 players and still a few more to come in. But nothing seems to have changed. I've been surprised at one or two of his lineups. He tends to make substitutions very quick. That happens nowadays because of the size of the squad and the substitutions you can make, especially at half time. Kassam is in the team tonight because he come on and looked bright and lively at the weekend against Hibs.
But by the looks of it, is we'll be playing wing back tonight instead. So that's different.
Well, I don't know. This is what I'm saying as well.
Do you think, right, if I made you guess between those two, because if it's not, if it's a 4-4-2, is that a midfield two of Raskin and Asgard? Does that not seem unlikely?
Well,
does Asgard ever play in it in that type of
role? if you look at what you're going to have for two wing backs, does that look like two wing backs? And I would probably say no. I would rather play Neil as one out of position, but you've said he's played there with Sunderland. But to ask these two guys to be wing backs in a game that they're coming up against a team that's a threat. Let's not be kidded here.
I'd be very surprised if he switched to a back three. Just going off, if you've the whole pre-season, I imagine, would have been 4-4-2. We've seen the first few league games, the first European games.
See, if it is, that's the fourth different formation in four games.
I think he's just at a point where, okay, there's a few injuries here and there, but I think he's at a point now where he's just trying to fit guys in and hope they produce something for him. Kassam, like we're saying, came on Sunday, had a little bit of an impact, but I feel like that's been the problem consistently with them, where guys will come on into games where it's easier to come into a game and impress. Yeah. And then as soon as you get to start the next game, when the pressure's on and you're expected to go and perform,
It's like he's changing for the sake of changing. Finlay Curtis played at the weekend and then back into right back, and he's just putting people in there, and then all of a sudden, Kassama, first game, absolutely terrible. Showed a wee bit,
let me ask James, is there any sympathy to Derek McInnes, James, because he has no fit available left-footed defenders, according to him, the Yusuf Chirmiti injury? So whilst, of course, he's maybe got some things wrong in the first few games, some of that tonight is kind of forced upon him, isn't it?
It is, but at the end of the day, who's the one that's going out and sign these players? Him. He's been backed again. Now let me tell you, the new guy, these owners, I have no time for. Let me tell you, because every massive call that they've had to make, they have got it 100% wrong. They appointed Russell Martin, gave it to Danny Rowe, they would have gave it to Derek McInnes because of that, because he came second. I'm sorry, but it's no good enough. And then it's a case of, we're now finding out that he was the only guy that they wanted, and he was the only guy that they went out and interviewed. That's a disgrace for somebody like Rangers Football Club to go out and just offer it to one guy. It's not like it's Jose Mourinho or Pep Guardiola. We're talking about Derek McInnes, that has won one trophy, one League Cup with Aberdeen.
He missed the chance to throw Jurgen Klopp in there.
That
was an open goal.
My big concern with Rangers right now here with that, about you don't have a lot of left footed players in the building, right? And obviously one's injured, he's out for 8 weeks. We are having a summit shortly about young players getting an opportunity to play. What is the Rangers youth system
doing
here?
On that, right, I think part of the plan this season is to create a pathway, the world's worst word, for Ashton Scally at left back. He's injured as well. So it sounds like an excuse maybe if you're all aboard the negative train, but I think I saw him running on his own or with somebody else coming back to fitness yesterday. I think he certainly would have been in about it. Would he have gone and started a big European qualifier? Maybe not, right? So I do take that point. But even he's injured.
Yeah, and you look also, he brought in a young lad, the Serbian lad, 4.5 million midfielder. He played right back in his debut at Ibrox, and he just looked out his depth at right back. He's never a right back. I know the argument is he's played at centre-half occasionally. But if you're coming in and you want to show the fans, listen, you've paid £4.5 million for me, you want to get off to a good start at Ibrox in front of a massive crowd. He looked like he was lost at right back.
But you also want to play your position.
Yeah, and he gets subbed and you put your left winger to right back. It's a bit confusing just now for me. And I don't know if it is because of all the injuries, but you can't keep making that excuse. How many players? Derek signed 10 players. That's nearly a team, mate. That's 10 players.
But they haven't signed a left back, though.
Yeah, but they've still get...
And hold on, right?
But we're not just talking about the left back here.
Primarily, we are, because that's we're talking about the left-footed defenders. And James is saying, you know, Derek McInnes has signed a defender. I know Derek McInnes has got a lot wrong so far. Mm-hmm. You're not telling me he has deliberately not signed a left back at this point. He's not gone to the board and said, "Listen, just leave it. We don't need a left back." So there becomes there's a separation of responsibilities here where recruitment staff need to get these deals in place in time.
Oh, listen, I totally agree with that. You've got to have, and it's the same at Celtic Park as we talk about, well, who's going to replace Tierney, for instance, at left back? We've had that, right? I totally get that. But it's not just the left back position, Gordon. There's players playing all over the place, out of position, and then all of a sudden, Kasama, for instance, first game, hopeless. And let's be honest, he was hopeless. 45 minutes, and Derek was right, take him off. Didn't see him again. Mm. He come on, showed a little bit of trickery at the weekend, and he's back in for a big game tonight.
John is on the other line. John,
hiya.
How are you?
Hi, good. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Thank you. There's not a lot of positivity out there. John, are you bringing any?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm kind of behind McInnes. I think he'll get it right in the end. You know,
what's giving you that confidence?
Just his team's always been tough, and as I say, he knows the club. We all know that. And just looking at the start of the season, I know it's we've all suffered. We've suffered for years, and I can understand the previous callers, but I think he'll get it right. And if you look at this team tonight, I mean, I've heard the boys there talking about it. I think it's quite a positive setup. I think it is three at the back. I think he's going to go for it tonight, and I hope we get the win. But if you look at the bench, and we all know this, and even the board have said they need four or five players. But if you look at the bench tonight, I don't think there's three or four on that bench that are going to be at the door. And these four or five players that they're mentioning and bringing in, these guys need to be starters. No, any loan deals or all this or whatever. But I think I was just wondering what the boys would think of this. I think one of the best signings that you could ask right now is to get Barry Ferguson in as a number two. What do the boys think of that?
Why?
I just think because Barry's been in the club as well, he's took the management, and if you listen to him now, he's kind of, I wasn't even really a big fan of Barry, the way he talked and all that, but since he's been in, he's had his wee spell, and I listen to him kind of regularly now. It's kind of, to me, I know he's older, but he's grown up, he speaks well now, and I think and he obviously gets the club. He knows he's been a captain, he knows what it's like to play for this club. But to me, it would be like, I know it's not going to happen, but I think that would be a great move.
Would that not be an absolute cast iron way of undermining Derek McInnes?
Absolutely no chance it's going to happen. I know what John's saying, but like, you can harp on about they know the club. Listen, get good players in. It's as simple as that. Get good players in, get them organised, and get them playing the football that Rangers fans want to see, and get them winning. It's not about, and listen, I've nothing against Barry Ferguson. Yes, he was a brilliant footballer. He'd done a good job for Rangers, stood in, really kept the club together when it was under severe pressure. But Derek McInnes knows the club. He's played at the club. He's an experienced manager. We hear that he knows the Scottish League. Look at the job he did with Hearts last year. I don't think that's a priority for me. I think the priority is quite simple, and the Rangers fans want to see is a product on the pitch, not what's sitting in the dugout.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't ever see it happening from probably both sides. I don't think Derek McInnes would be a fan of that. I don't think Barry Ferguson would probably entertain it either. And again, I feel like was probably a big part in Derek McInnes being appointed, was that this whole thing of he gets Rangers, he understands all that, he does all that. You don't need more than that. You can just keep signing fans then, if that's the case.
Thank you very much to John for his suggestion. 0141 951 1025. We are about an hour away from kickoff in the games that are here in the qualifiers. Loads to look forward to. Motherwell fans, I'd like to hear from you. There must be some mad Hearts fan out there that thinks they can overturn a 6-1. I don't know.
Do you think the Hearts manager thinks? Hearts manager?
he won't even think it.
Do you not think
no.
so? Get an early goal.
Oh, come on, you. Right. Anyway, whilst you get your calls in, let me run this past you.
Clyde One.
Tomorrow is the day everything could change for you. £600,000. Imagine that getting deposited into your bank account on a Friday afternoon in one go. A bit like the signing on fee Killian Sheridan got at Jagiellonia Bialystok all those years ago. Goodness knows what you would do with that. Text YES to 61025 if you fancy it. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate over 18s only. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the entry details for this network competition and the rules on there as well. Phone entry details there. The clock is ticking. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. Text YES to 61025 and good luck from us.
Talking football. 6 until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here. Forgive my false advertising about the kickoff times just prior to the break. I forgot. Well, I had to tell a lie. I forgot Rangers was 7:30, and I had quite a lengthy debate with someone at the weekend. And we were checking different websites, and I left the conversation assured that Fir Park was a 7:45 kickoff. Hence my plan to get there for the second half.
But you're not going.
You've just broken it to me during the travel that it's 7:30. I could be in bother.
Well, let's be honest. You're not going.
I still think you can make the start of that second half.
That seat next to Andrew will be filled by me.
But see, coming off the MA, it's been down to one lane last couple of nights leaving here. That's going to change everything for me. So I'll look into it.
Glasgow motorway with roadworks.
I know, shock.
Shocker.
Whatever next. James is going to be there, I think. James, how are you doing?
Not bad, panel yourself.
Not bad, James. 1-0 from the first leg, bringing it back home. Does logic follow that you think you've got a good chance of progressing?
I would say we've got a good chance, Gordon. No under no illusion. Helsinki are not a bad team. They're regularly in Europe. I think the surface will help us massively tonight. I just think it took us about 45 minutes last week to get used to the AstroTurf. I don't think they ever really got grips to it. Much better second half, but don't think they ever got grips to the surface. So should help us this evening, but I'm under no illusions. We need to start well tonight, I think. The only thing that worries me, the squad is very thin. There's nobody on the bench really to come off if I maybe say 1-0 down with 20 minutes ago. You know, we've got far, far too many injuries. Looks like Sparrow's picked up an injury now, he's not in the squad. So I don't know, I think we've got 7 or 8 out injured. You know, it's
James, you're a man after my own heart. Not only did I whinge to Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan, I took it to group chats during the break as well, because that would be the one thing, Gordon. Motherwell have had praise. They've had praise for the way they've managed the post Jens Bertolascu era, the departures, the injuries, but they still exist. We keep running through the list of players that left, and Ward and Welsh and Just and Watt and Slattery and so on. Then the ones that are injured, and O'Donnell and McGinn.
Experience as well.
So Paul McGinn's the captain, injured. Stephen O'Donnell would be the captain, injured. Because of that, Tom Sparrow's been the captain for the first few games, injured. Mm-hmm. And then the starting 11, James is right. That looks pretty strongish. Probably missing a striker, but fine. The bench is very, very inexperienced, particularly in attacking areas. In fact, there's next to nothing.
After hearing you there, I don't think MD will want the captaincy.
I was just going to say, who's captain tonight?
But listen, I do agree, I think it'll be a tough game, but, you know, I keep going back to Maswanisi's penalty over there. I know they got the equaliser and the game's finally in the balance. I just think Motherwell have got something about them. I think they played some good football. You were at the game on Sunday against Falkirk. Yes, 0-0. But when you've got guys like Maswanisi up top, you've always got that threat. So if we can keep him on the pitch tonight, it will be a tight game, because they've got guys that can score goals as well. They've got Pukki, who's all seen what he achieved at Celtic and Norwich. I know he wasn't the greatest hit at Celtic, but down to Norwich and was excellent. He'll always be a threat. I just, home advantage tonight, 8,000 again. The crowds are absolutely brilliant. I just think that Motherwell will edge us tonight. I think they'll have enough, Gordon.
I think that's the test, Killian, that bit at the top of the pitch, because the rest of the... So Maswanisi even isn't really an out-and-out striker, and at times Motherwell played without one last year. The reason that perhaps worked is because the rest was so finely tuned. So if you're still trying to quite get to that level and then you don't have the focal point, I wonder if that's the kind of the potential sticky point. Because we saw the game against Falkirk was probably a good example. That wasn't a fluid attacking, you know, clinical Motherwell performance.
Yeah, I just think it's easier when a team like Motherwell now that have a system in place where managers come in and they're told to play a certain style. I think that kind of enforces a team when, if there's injuries or stuff, or the team is thin, when it's an actual system, you're not like relying sure. on individual players to, that player needs to be better than who he's up against. If they're going into a well-drilled mm-hmm. system, sometimes the calibre of player isn't such a big thing. I do fancy Motherwell this evening. I think they'll beat Helsinki in it. Actually played Helsinki in a qualifier, and away their Astro was horrible. They got a player sent off and we were lucky, but when we played them at home, they were a completely different mm-hmm. team.
Again, Gordon, on paper, James makes a good point, Killian makes a good point. You would kind of fancy Motherwell's chances in that regard. The one thing that does go in their favour that James alluded to, being from where they are, I think it's 17 seasons in a row they've played in Europe. You know, that mm-hmm. that must be worth something, that type of experience, even if it is, you know, early stages. But I think they've made some group stages in that time.
Yeah, they've been absolutely brilliant. They're a well-run club. Terrific.
Oh, Helsinki, I'm talking about being 17 seasons in a row. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's what I said.
They're a well-run club, are they?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's what I was talking about.
And do they've you, good, do you know?
And they've got good players. As I mentioned on Pookie.
What did you know Helsinki are a well-run club?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I've done my research on them because I knew you were going to speak to them tonight. And their bags of experience, as you quite rightly said, Gordon. But I just think that going over there, Motherwell going over there, and as I say, on a difficult pitch, doing the job, getting them back to Fir Park. The pitch tonight will be like a bowling green, we all know that. I don't take anything out of the Falkirk game, because Falkirk's been the bogey team for Motherwell, especially last season as well. I know they've got injuries, but sometimes, you know, everybody just rallies round. They're playing with confidence. They have got a threat. But they'll need to defend. There's no doubt, because they will create chances. They've got to defend.
James, to go bigger picture, this must be great though. A great occasion to turn up at the type of season you had last year. There's still a feel good factor. What I think earlier when I read it was over 8,000 tickets sold. You must be brilliant going along there tonight.
Oh, that was probably what I was going to come on to, Gordon. I'm 33, not too similar to yourself, Gordon, but this is probably the best last two seasons I've been a Motherwell fan, and it just looks to be going in the right trajectory with the, you know, the chairman and everyone pulling the right direction, and it's no better time to be a Motherwell fan. I just think we're going strength to strength, new training ground and things like that. You know, it's the best I can ever remember in my lifetime, and it's just brilliant to be here. You know, I'm outside the Cooper just now, ready to go into the stadium, and it's jam packed. You know, and it's such a buzz. So it would just be brilliant to get through tonight, and then you've got the glamorous tie against Freiburg.
Cross that bridge when you come to it. Thank you very much to James. Enjoy.
Can I just say something? I want to start this new season differently this year, right? Yeah, I didn't listen.
Obviously. I know that.
I tried to dig myself out of that.
Everybody knows that.
See that big hole I fell down? I tried to dig myself out of it. No point worrying about it.
Gordon DL says Helsinki are a well-run club.
But they probably are.
Maybe it's a sign of things to come on his Beat the Pundit performance. Let's play it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4 till 7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan's here alongside Gordon DL. That's former Jagiellonia Bialystok striker Killian Sheridan, by the way, and former Rangers striker Gordon DL.
And former Motherwell.
Do you know what? See, to be fair, see if you looked, I looked at the Conference League fixtures tonight and I thought it was in your Wikipedia page. That's what it reads like. There are 25 minutes to go until kickoff. Ibrox and Fir Park. I've now actually caught up with the kickoff times. You'd think that was quick.
And sorry, very briefly, former Hibs player.
Aye?
Yeah, went in there on trial for 2 weeks.
No appearances.
Scored in a friendly.
A trial.
We scored enough. Good. Friendly, my goodness. Anyway, four big games, four big qualifiers tonight, and some big signings made today, particularly at Celtic. So get your calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Both Gordon Dale and Killian Sheridan are looking to bounce back from defeats in their last outing. Yeah. What about, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover. Did you have Tony Watt down as a Scrabble aficionado?
No.
The tiebreaker last night was Scrabble related, and I thought he was going to, but he actually sat and quite methodically
worked it out,
plotted it out, and won
Scrabble. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case tonight, you may as well just,
I mean, unlikely we would do a Scrabble question two nights in a row on the tiebreaker.
Well, have you seen the,
or it would be the last thing we'd expect.
Double bluff,
Hunter Thompson.
Having said that,
that's a Hunter Thompson.
Having said that, I am going to stop criticising the weirdness, or maybe it's actually emphasised the weirdness in that production office through there. Because what about producer Jay?
I listened to us in the
on the show last night,
yeah, and I didn't know who it was.
He's worked here. If anyone's wondering what we're on about, go to our social media channels, Instagram, etc., and check out the video. Jay's worked here for 2 years and never thought to, because I don't know if you've noticed, we talk about Celtic and Rangers quite a lot on this show, and he's never found time to bring up the fact that he can tell you every single result and goal scorer in Old Firm games since 1995. He wasn't born till 2002.
Uh-huh.
I was amazed when he did that.
Amazed as well, because I travelled home with him and he had to use a sat nav to get to his house. Right, this is true. And he ended up in the other car park, the spare car park.
What's that got to do with his football knowledge?
Because you wouldn't think he was,
but he's maybe putting all his intelligence in
all the times. All the times he must have heard guys in here talking about like Old Firm games, and he's just sitting in there them, like dying to get that information out.
Because see, when he, like, maybe he will tell me the information. I assume he's googled it all this time, but he's able to recall it.
Well,
can we get him in to try it again?
I had
later
a wee
on?
Quiz with him earlier, but his knowledge is 1995 upwards, is it?
Yeah, but he was born until 2002.
I'd like to know why 1995.
That's a good point, Jay. Why is it 1995? Is there a clear, concise answer to that query?
That's true.
More footage those days.
He claims that's when more footage started becoming available. I'll take his word for it. Anyway, Beat the Pundit, Luke is on. How are you, Luke?
Yeah, not too bad, guys. Thanks very much.
Good stuff. Would this be your Beat the Pundit debut?
Yes, it is indeed.
Good stuff. How do you rate yourself?
It all depends on the question. Sometimes I'm absolutely on it. Sometimes I'm absolutely hopeless.
Fair enough. It's
just a 50-50, really.
Much like you two.
You're in good company tonight then, Luke.
No, I don't know. I'm not even giving Killian 50-50 yet. He's not earned that for me yet.
This big guy played last year and was
having a bad season.
Since he retired from Brecon, his finger's not on the pulse anymore. Right, the blue side of the coin will be Mr. Jagiellonia Białystok. The red side will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is, I'm afraid,
Gordon I need a bounce back ability.
Hopeless last week. What was it that 4-3 done you again? That was horrific. The bank. Which bank used to sponsor the top flight in Scotland? He said Santander, and he didn't even call it Santander. He got the name wrong.
Yeah. Well, I said Royal at the beginning, but it wasn't that either. What was it then? Come on.
Clydesdale.
There you go.
All right.
See,
you probably
Luke,
heard the
hair
show.
Luke's showing off. Luke's warming up.
Oh, no. Luke's in fire.
Right. 30 seconds on the clock, Luke. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Sound good?
Yep.
Let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which former Celtic striker plays for Motherwell's opponents tonight?
Timo Pukki.
New Sevilla striker Robbie Ewer made how many league appearances for Rangers?
Pass.
Which team plays their home games at the Balmoral Stadium?
Pass.
What squad number does Lauren Shankland have at Rangers?
7.
Who's got more Scotland caps, Ryan Christie or Scott McTominay?
Christie.
Who's the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Okay. Gordon Dalziel, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Same set of questions.
Okay.
30 seconds on the clock. And your time, don't mess this up, starts now. Which former Celtic striker plays for Motherwell's opponents tonight? Okay. New Sevilla striker Robbie Ewer made how many league appearances for Rangers?
2.
Which team plays their home games at the Balmoral Stadium?
Peterhead.
What squad number does Lawrence Shankland have at Rangers?
18.
Who has more Scotland caps, Ryan Christie or Scott McTominay?
McTominay.
Who's the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
John McLean.
Xavi was appointed manager of which national team this week?
Spain.
Okay.
Don't know.
Do you think the World Cup winners are looking for a new manager at the moment?
I don't know. I don't think so. Was he Brazil?
Let's wait and find out.
It's Brazil, isn't
it? No! Okay, then. Why is that the next go-to?
Don't know.
Anyway, Luke, what do you think? How do you think it went?
Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless.
I don't know. Which former Celtic striker plays for HJK Helsinki, Motherwell's opponents? It is Timo Pukki. He scored in the first leg and it is 1-1. New Sevilla striker Robbie Ewer made how many league appearances for Rangers? Did you pass that, Luke?
Yes, I did.
Absolute schoolboy error.
Pass?
I don't come down hard on the listeners very often. See if the answer is a number. Don't pass it. Just throw a number out there. Just guess. Like Gordon DL guessed 2 and got it right.
Seriously?
Devastating.
Oh, lovely. Luke, just guess.
I think I do remember him. I remember, did he score against Queen of the South? That would have been the cup. I remember that one, but apparently 2 league appearances. Jay will tell me in a minute. And it's 2-1 to Gordon DL. Balmoral Stadium, I know what you've done there. You've just thought it's north somewhere.
That's Peterhead.
Cove.
Oh, which Peterhead's in? Is that no
Balmoor?
You said Balmoor.
But I didn't, crucially. I said the Balmoral Stadium.
Oh, I picked you up wrong. I think the mics are not
working.
Seems
very
right.
Much like a you problem rather than anything I've done. I'm not doing this season, honestly.
Did Luke get that?
He didn't. What squad number does Lauren Shankland have? It was Killian that told you he was 18 earlier. No Lauren Shankland. That's what you've got in your head.
What number?
Shankland, 7. Luke got it.
Oh, no.
Equaliser. Longest serving manager. Oh, do you know what? There's no suspense. I might as well just go through them. Ryan Christie has got 71 caps.
Oh, no.
Scott McTominay, 73. Well done. Ooh. Luke went the other way. Quite interesting that. That's very close. John McGlynn is the longest serving manager. You're right. Not bad for you. A few good guesses in there for you tonight.
No, that's knowledge.
Xavi.
Brazil.
The Netherlands.
Did Luke get that?
Which means the link between Roberto Martinez and the Netherlands didn't come to fruition. Does that mean he's still open for Scotland?
Could have went Portugal, couldn't I? Who's your manager of Portugal? Nobody.
Well, you could have, but
Martinez.
Ah, but he's away, mate. Come on, Luke, do your stuff.
Anyway, Xavi is the Netherlands. And Luke, you did all right. You got a couple on the board, but
you're up against
it. It's better than a donut, I suppose.
You were beaten by the better man.
What was the score?
4-2.
Sorry, Luke.
It's all good.
Like, I had to bounce back. That's one thing about me. If I get beat, don't phone the next night, because I'm right on it.
Like a wounded animal.
Wounded animal,
as they
yeah.
say. Luke, you are in Leeds. You don't sound like you're from Leeds, though. What's the script down there, working or something?
So I moved down here in 2015. I then met my partner, and we've got a house, and we started our own family down here. So I've just stayed down here.
Good. Celtic, your team?
Yeah, they are indeed.
What are you thinking at the moment then? Since we left last night, Haseem Hassan signed for round about 9 million. And then Bauer has joined as well for 6 and a bit. That's quite an outlay.
I mean, if you were to tell me before we signed Kasper Ho that in, what, the space of 2 weeks, we'd get another 3 in, and I know there's talks of potentially and a fullback coming in on loan. I know Greg Taylor's been thrown around, and there's a young lad from Chelsea that's also been sort of thrown around as well at the moment. But if you were to tell me that we get 2 done in 2 days, I'd have bitten your arm off. So yeah, happy man. I think we can start to slowly up the board a little bit of slack now. They're bringing in a lot of quality rather than quantity, whereas before they've been scrutinised that they're just getting bodies in the door.
Big fees as well. You keep adding this caveat, and I know everyone knows this is how it works. None of us really know how a signing is going to turn out. But when they first arrive, you're asked to make that judgment based on the kind of profile, the clubs they come from, reputation. Then what does the fee say for like the kind of the statement from the club sort of thing? And Celtic are going for it a bit, I think you would say, in the last, well, certainly with the 4 signings they've made, all multi-million pound deals.
Yeah, and I mean, I think. Sorry,
I mean, if you look at it, sorry, Kelly.
On you go, Luke.
I think if you look at it, this is something like the new front three that we brought in, so Dran, Ho, and Haseem. It's something like 20 odd million between the three of them. I could never ever tell you the last time Celtic even put that sort of money out there, let alone signing 3 attackers after the Celtic fans have been screaming out for maybe the best part of 18 months, 2 years since Kyogo left, that we need attackers, we need quality on the wings, and we need quality in that central position, and they've gone and done it.
Yeah, no, I agree with what Luke's saying there. I think if you're going back years before, it was generally when big signings were made, it was players we knew and knew a lot about. This summer, probably been a little bit lucky that Kasper, who's the one that Yar actually quite familiar with his game. But everyone else, like you're saying, they are generally players we don't know a lot about, and you're just kind of judging them off the fee. They're coming in with a little bit of pressure. So far, the signings have been good. Everything looks positive. And you kind of have to, I think a lot of the fans who were putting pressure on the board and screaming out for signings, you kind of have to be like, with fair play to the board, they're going out there, they're spending money, and they're also doing it with, like, a lot of it is kind of coming from nowhere. Like, they never got the sense that they'd panicked and came out and were like trying to defend themselves or anything. They just quietly went about their business, probably took a loss, a lot of criticism, and then I suppose it is justified when the signings aren't happening. But now I think there's a lot more optimism among Celtic fans for the season ahead.
Yeah, I think if you're a Celtic fan, you did at the beginning of the transfer window give the Celtic board a lot of criticism, but they're doing their business brilliantly. Not in the fact that I do grieve spending 20 odd million, they're bringing in money as well. They've brought in something like 16 million for players going out, so they balance that brilliantly. And I do think that the two signings I've seen so far, as much as everybody's talking about Kasper, who is probably going to score a barrel load for me, I think he's got everything. I think his link-up play is brilliant as well. I like the look of the boy, Duran. I really do. I know he's playing out of position, but I tell you, I think he'll be a real good sign as well. So if the next two are as half as good as these guys, then I think Celtic fans will be delighted with the transfer business that Celtic are doing.
Nothing in football's ever easy, look, in one-way traffic with the good news. So there is an injury by the looks of it to Alistair Johnson. Is that a concern with Lask approaching and whatever it means for his potential exit?
I mean, it's sort of a lose-lose situation for Alistair himself. You know what I mean? He's out injured. Any sort of move that was potential in the lines could now be null and void and gone for him. So for him personally, it's a bad scenario for Celtic fans and for Celtic as a team. Yeah, it's a bad situation. You know what I mean? We've lost one of our key players. I mean, we've seen how much we struggled without him last season, and now to potentially have that again is a bit of a worry. But with the sort of rumours doing the rounds of him potentially leaving, I'm just hoping that the board have sort of identified that and are now looking already to sort of strengthen that area. Yeah. So we potentially have someone lined up, ready to come in, who can just sort of slot into that position and hit the ground running. But we never know. We just got to take it as it comes, I suppose.
Because that's where there are still areas that need addressed, because the marquee ones, if you want to call them that, everyone's now coming round to, hats off to the Celtic board for paying big money and players with big reputations. But if Alistair Johnson's situation was to happen on the other side to Kieran Tierney, you go into the Champions League qualifiers are everything for Celtic. Every year we have this conversation about how that's where they want to be, and the money and the finances. They're desperately short at fullback areas, are they not?
Yeah, and I think to be fair, Celtic are this season putting themselves in a much better position for this Champions League qualifier. I think they have learned from last season that there is no easy games at that stage of a competition, especially Champions League. The left back is, I don't find it that big of an issue. You've got Kieran Tierney, and I also sympathise with them a bit, where it's hard to go out and find a good quality left back that's going to be willing. They know they're coming to play in a position to play backup to someone else. It's hard to get someone of that quality. My more pressing concern would be probably right back for Alistair Johnson, because I don't think Celtic have come out and set a time frame or anything on the injury.
The story wasn't a long term one.
Yeah,
but like we said, it Lask is a week away.
Yeah,
the first leg.
Yeah, yeah. You look at what is the cover in there, Donovan and Ralston. I look at the left back situation.
Well, just sorry on that. They are rumoured to be going after Chelsea left back Landon Emenalo, 18-year-old on loan. Mm. Somebody took a very grainy picture that claims to be him up at Lennox Town as well yesterday. So as you said, maybe that's the
Emenalo. But the guy who used to work at Chelsea.
Used to work at Chelsea.
No, there's a was he a director or something?
You may well have uncovered something, but that's probably the profile then. If you're talking about how do you get a guy to come and be back up to Kieran Tierney, a young academy player from England might be the answer.
Yeah, but they've also got the fact there if makeshift they could put skills because he's played there before as well. But I think Alistair Johnston is the biggest problem because no disrespect, I think that you're going for such a level and then dropping down with, like say, you know, they brought Donovan on at Rugby Park. He's a young guy making his way in the game, but he's miles off of what Alistair Johnston brings to the
good attacking park. Fullbacks are so important. We've seen at Celtic when they're like wingers, teams will double up and they might negate a winger, then having a fullback there overlapping and chipping in with assists, which we saw last season the two of them did in bundles.
Thank you very much to Luke in Leeds. Not enough on Beat the Pundit, but some good discussion with Luke afterwards. This guy is banging form tonight. He's been in the Jagiellonia Hotel today, getting the inside track, and he's absolutely right. Michael Emenalo, Chelsea's old technical director, is this boy's feather. So there you go.
I thought you were saying that's who they're signing.
The name rang a bell there, Michael Emenalo.
Yeah, and he's come out with Hunter Thompson tonight,
which will love with me. 01419511025. We go back around the grounds for kickoff next.
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025.
Fast approaching kickoff. We will go back to the grounds very soon. Let me quickly get your teaser up and running before we do. Here's my dramatic teaser music.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, don't need to give me any answers because I need to get back around the grounds, but let's set the question up. So, before Derek McInnes, because he's an obvious one, can you name the permanent managers for all the other clubs, the last manager who also played for that club? Didn't word that very well. That's my mistake. So Derek McInnes is the most recent manager to manage the club that he also played for. Can you name the latest example for all other 11 clubs?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to Fir Park and find out what's happening there with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just waiting for the players to make their way out the tunnel. Kickoff is closing in. A real positive atmosphere inside Fir Park. A good feel around things in the early stages of this season. That's been continued by Alfred Johansson, despite him having to step into Jens Bertolaskus' shoes and having to deal with plenty of departures and injuries. But the sun is shining down on the stand across from me as a tifo with the Conference League logo. And it says, don't these times fill your eyes? And there's no need for jackets either, with the sun streaming down, as I said, so it is a sea of claret and amber. Motherwell showed last week that they can certainly compete with HJK. Now it's time to show if they can get the better of them. I might see you in the second half here, Gordon, and if Motherwell get through, I'll fully be expecting a message from you asking if I'm able to host a show on the night of that Freiburg away leg.
Absolutely. Thank you to Andrew McLean. What about Ibrox, though? Here's Gabriel.
Yeah, Andrew says it's positive over at Fir Park. Well, it's a pivotal night here for Derek McInnes and Rangers. So early in the season, the two teams just walking out of the tunnel now. They're winless from three so far. And, of course, facing a 2-1 deficit here. They need a victory and progression to kickstart their campaign. If they do reach the Europa League playoff final, they're off to Georgia. Whereas if they drop into the Conference League playoffs, it'll be Jablonec, the Czech side. They miss out altogether, Gordon, it will be a disaster financially, as well as a massive blow to McInnes. The group phase of the Europa League would bank a minimum $10 million. It would be half of that for the Conference League. And if they miss out altogether, it's just $1 million. Something Rangers can't afford after such an expensive outlay this summer. And more players, certainly, to come in. Let's get to the team news then as the players shake hands. Five changes for McInnes and a change of formation as well. We think it looks like a back three. Pando in goal, Sterling, Macania and Fernandez the defenders. It will be Yokota and Gassama as wing backs, with Raskin, Neil and Asgard in the middle of the park. Shanklin and Nadiri are up top. It looks like a bunch of Partick Thistle fans over in that corner, Gordon, but I promise you they're making quite a bit more noise than the Maryhill supporters usually do. The Polish side will hang on to absolutely everything they've got here tonight. If it has to go to extra time and penalties, so be it. McInnes has called on his fans to crank up the noise. They need something to get behind on the park. Captain Lawrence Shanklin in the centre circle, just shaking hands with his opposition as Ibrox roar behind the team. Kickoff fast approaching.
Gordon DL, we now think we know it will be that back three. We debated it earlier. Yokota and Gassama as wingbacks in a critical European tie probably tells you quite a lot about where Rangers are at in a few different ways at the moment, because you would accept injuries playing a part.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that settles down, because in the pre-season games and up until now they've played a back four. They've went to a three. The two wing backs are not really what you would call full back type wing backs, like, you know, they'll go.
They're wingers.
Yeah, they're wingers. So they'll have to do that defensive side of the game, which probably wingers don't like doing. If I was the opposition tonight, I would quite fancy hitting them on the counter attack. But it's up to the back three. Back three will need to defend tonight. The defending for Rangers so far this season hasn't been good enough. They look like they can give up goals. I don't think they could afford to lose the first goal tonight. If they lose the first goal tonight, I think they're gone. But I think it'll be a positive performance for Rangers. If they can create chances, I think they're hoping that Shanklin will go off and run.
You can give it away now, Killian. There's only 1 minute to kick off. When you were in the Jagiellonia Hotel earlier talking to some of your former colleagues, I'd imagine they were planning on sort of sitting in to an extent and hitting Rangers on the break. They even managed to do it at times at home last week.
Yeah, no, they're, like I said, they've kind of mentioned the crowd, like that first 10-15 minutes, not kind of getting past the whole Rangers need the crowd on board the start of the match. And then any kind of lull in that, if Rangers, I think, don't score in the first 15-20 minutes, a little bit of nerves comes. And from kind of what I gathered, I wasn't going into too much tactical detail with them.
Do you get the board
saying, huh?
Did you get the board?
But they were saying that they, as I've already said, they do fancy themselves, and they were a little bit annoyed that they hadn't scored a little bit more in the first time. I think mostly their game plan will be sit in a bit and then just hit Rangers on the counter attack.
What about the real revelation from his trip to the Jagiellonia Hotel?
What's that?
You get a parking ticket.
Parking ticket.
Honestly,
well, those that know me, that's not a revelation.
You've got to expense that to Jagiellonia.
I'm sure your old club will pay that.
Was it Gabriel said? 10 million if you get through to the Europa League. Surely they can send you £50 to Glasgow City Council.
I mean, I'll try anything. Yeah,
we can sort that out. Right, we're underway at Ibrox and at Fir Park. We'll keep you up to speed on everything that happens before we disappear tonight. Tynecastle, Benfica, 6-1 down from the first leg.
They need the first goal to give them any hope. They need to get it early, and it'll be interesting. No, look, that tie's well and truly gone. It'll be interesting to see what sort of team he puts out. You know, will he give some game time to players that probably need it, or does he look and think, I don't really want to suffer another real going over here? Because
I've had games like that where a game, like, it can be a big game, big European game, and it's not that it's meaningless, but you know the game's done, and then he'll give players who, like, maybe haven't played so much or something like that, and you're like, this is a really good game to play in. Like, yeah, I really want to play in this game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because let's face it, he come off a good result against Dundee United, and, you know, a lot of people were looking, thinking, is this the right guy? I thought they were excellent against Dundee United. I thought it was a good game. I thought Dundee United actually played okay, but they were sharp, they were lively, they got some good goals. I think it's just a case of getting some minutes into the legs tonight, because that tie's certainly gone.
I don't think there's any wholesale change. No, it still looks like a fairly strong Hearts team, actually. Yeah. Roos, McCart, McEntee, Miller continuing at fullback by the looks of it then. Braga, Renault, who's scoring spectacular goals. McPake, Spittle, Finlay, Gendouz and Altena. So It's not like he's chucked.
I like the boy Reynolds. His goal at the weekend was sensational.
And last week.
And the one.
At the weekend. My goodness. Nobody's saving
him. I like his kind of his approach to the games where he just last week went really attacking and probably just thought it's a game no one's expecting us to win, but it's a chance for him to continue to implement what he wants to get across and that attacking.
Crazy as it sounds, I know you don't get a trophy for this and all that stuff, but they managed some really nice periods of possession away to Benfica. But again, you can only polish that so much. Again, they get battered 6-1. But
was that not the same with Stingrass?
I know, but to do I think
apparently they played the 4-0
team. Yeah.
They said, by the way, it was never 4-0, played well, and you said they're Benfica. So it'll be interesting to see how they perform tonight.
Now, we're much further down the line over in North Macedonia, where it's Skendia 0, Hibs 0, 32 minutes gone there. So remember, Hibs, that would suit Hibs. They're fine. Mm-hmm. They're 2-1 up on aggregate. But still very much, you know, a close one. We'll keep an eye on that as well. Definitely a 3-5-2 for Rangers, Gordon. We're now underway at Ibrox, 3 minutes in. Rangers trying to press high and press the goalkeeper. Jagiellonia going up the other end and trying to mount an attack which gets cleared to the edge of the box.
Well, it's interesting to see, Gordon, the minute they get the ball, it goes into the wide areas. You know what I mean?
Switched.
Yeah, goes right in there. They've obviously looked at the way Rangers are going to play and decided, right, we'll try and expose them down the wide areas, get in behind them. There's another ball down the left-hand side this time, which forces your centre-backs, your right centre-back and your left centre-back, to come out. Now, the good thing with Sterling is he doesn't mind coming out in a right-back position because that's the position he plays. Yeah. But I don't think Fernandes likes getting dragged out there, to be honest.
How does the preparation for that work generally, Killian? Because I'm assuming Jagiellonia would have worked on a game plan. They wouldn't have known Rangers were going to play a back three tonight. I don't think MD really knew that. So is that something they would have done anyway, those switches of play? Or is that something you then decide to implement once you see the Rangers team come in? How does that work?
Well, they didn't know until I told them earlier.
Exactly.
No, I'm joking.
The camp.
I think they would have identified the space down the sides anyway. And even now, it's going to be even more so, I think, to play into their hands. And they're just like
watching it.
They're doing it straight away. Yeah,
it doesn't work that time. Goes out of play. HJK have had a quick break down the right at Fir Park and hit the side netting. So an early warning sign for Motherwell. Rangers up and running. Looking forward to Hearts, and we said Hibs well in to the game there that Hibs are involved in. How are you two faring on the teaser? I set it up ages ago. So before Derek McInnes, can you name the most recent manager to manage the club he's played for each team in the league? Who have you got?
Right, Stephen Naismith, Hearts.
Yes.
Barry Robson, Aberdeen.
Yes.
Neil Lennon, Celtic.
Yes. Killian, any from you?
I've got David Gray.
Okay. And
Barry Ferguson.
No, so McInnes is fine. He's taken care of Rangers. So we've taken Rangers out. Yeah, yeah.
It's per team.
Yes.
Oh.
Per team.
Right. I've got.
Can we go as far back as Kilmarnock, Lee McCulloch?
Oh, that's lovely. That is lovely from
you.
Stephen McLean at St Johnstone.
Yes. Let's leave it there because you're making good progress.
And I need to read it again.
We've got plenty.
I've got it covered.
You've got plenty of time. Corner Rangers early on, Gordon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the set play coach comes up with here. Asgard's hand up, so that means it's going back post. I can tell you that right now. There you go.
That's not back post, that's right in the middle.
No, it's back postage.
Fernandes.
They keep it alive. They've got some big players
up
there.
You've got a chance here, Rangers, and it's put back in for a third time. But away it goes.
It's back in again, so I've got an opportunity.
Punched by the goalkeeper. Rangers really trying to put the pressure on in these early stages. I'm sorry for your former team, Killian, but I'm glad the ref didn't fall for that attempt at claiming there was a head knock. I hate when that.
I know. And players are cutting on to it. As soon as they know there's a little bit of danger in the box,
dip the head.
And it's anywhere near the head, they're going down. I do it like rugby. Just have a doctor run on.
And you play the game round about.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I think some of the new rules have.
I like the
I've
new
really
rules.
Liked the start of the season on it.
Yeah, because we're finishing games in a decent time, Gordon. I've got to say, I'd be a bit concerned with. If I was Rangers, I'd be testing this goalkeeper.
He saved one from Shank.
Great save.
But the ball comes to him there. This is my pet hate with goalkeepers. Just catch a ball. That's why you get two big gloves. Just catch it. instead of punching it out. And all of a sudden you put yourself under pressure. But good pressure from Rangers, encouraging there.
I'd like to see that again, because you're praising the goalkeeper. I wonder if he's got lucky. I thought he was way over to one side, and Shanklin just happened to hit the ball quite near him. No?
Yeah, number 7 Shanklin, who's changed his number tonight.
What's the goalie's position, no?
Nah, that's a poor effort. Okay? I think it's a poor effort.
Anyway, so Rangers now starting to tick a bit more, although I think there's a foul against Telo Asgard, and that allows Killian Sheridan's former team, as they're now known, to regroup and try and come forward in their Partick Thistle colours. Sun shining at Ibrox. No goals to tell you about, none to tell you about yet at Fir Park either. We mentioned that HJK chance, they hit the side netting, and it's still Skendia nil, Hibs nil. You can keep the calls coming in. It's always a bit more difficult when the games are ongoing. Maybe you're just watching instead. But Celtic fans, you could call about the transfer business. And we've been trying to give away a wonderful golf prize for our charity golf day over the last week or so, and we are going to be speaking to the winner when we return.
It's game on until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's a huge night of European action. 13 minutes gone at Ibrox. Rangers nil, Jagiellonia nil. Rangers need to win this game, remember, to progress in qualification. Motherwell nil, HJK Helsinki nil. So that was one all from the first leg. Hibs are still goalless as they approach half time over in North Macedonia. They are leading from the first leg, and we'll get to Hearts a bit later on. Very quickly on this teaser, we're looking on for, before Derek McInnes, can you name the permanent manager for each of the other 11 teams?
Oh, they've just hit the post.
Oh, big chance for the visitors. So before Derek McInnes, can you name the permanent managers to manage the other 11 teams, having played for that team as well? So like Celtic, you've got Neil Lennon, Aberdeen Barry Robson, Hart Stephen Naismith, Hibs David Gray, Kilmarnock Lee McCulloch, St Johnstone Stephen McLean,
Stevie Hamill Motherwell.
Well done.
James McPake Dundee.
Well done.
Jim Goodwin St Mirren.
Brilliant. Two to get. We'll get them hopefully before the end. Big chance for the visitors, and it's a save by Ivan Pander. It lacked the pace to beat him, and he gets down to his right, but that's two let offs for Rangers, Gordon.
Yeah, the defence is all over the place. They don't look comfortable with that back three, and the visitors really should be one up, Gordon.
Okay, now we have been promoting this all week because it's a brilliant cause and a brilliant prize. It's the Big Scottish Golf Day. We're all involved in it next Friday at the Carrick, and we were giving away an unbelievable prize. So here's one we prepared earlier, because just before we came on air, the three of us made the call to announce to the winner that they had scooped the amazing golf prize for us. So let's take a listen.
Hello?
Hello, it's Gordon Duncan, Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Who are we speaking to?
Mary.
Mary, how are you?
I'm all right, Gordon.
Now, Mary, what were you doing last night? You didn't happen to enter one of our competitions, did you?
I certainly did.
For the Big Scottish Golf Day?
Yes.
Mary, you entered just in time. I told everybody last night, this is your last chance. Lines close at 8 o'clock and your number seems to have come through right in the nick of time. Well, I'm pleased to say you are the winner, Mary. You have won.
Oh my God.
Are you a golfer, Mary?
My son's father and that is, my nephew.
Brilliant.
It's for Ben. You know, a couple of years ago I won a competition on here for tickets to the Scottish Cup.
Some luck you've got, Mary. I hope you've got the lottery on as well, winning everything in sight.
Oh God, and I won 7,500 before a couple of years ago.
Mary's a serial competition winner. This is spectacular. Well, anyway, Mary, if you're giving it to your son, what a treat they're in for. Friday the 21st of August at the Carrick, the Big Scottish Golf Day. They're getting chauffeur driven there, thanks to JGS Executive Travel. They're getting their barbecue, their beer, their pie, their golf, a Q&A with the Super Scoreboard pundits, and an overnight stay at Cameron House, all thanks to Arnold Clark. Will they be happy with that?
They'll be over the moon with that.
Brilliant. And Mary, you've done your bit. A wee £5 donation to Cash for Kids as well, which we thank you for.
Thank you very much, Gordon. You're the champions on that.
Brilliant, Mary. So who's coming along? Who should we look out for? Who do you want to give a shout out to?
I don't want to say anything.
Right, keep it secret.
Aye.
Fine, good on you. There well we done, go. Mary. Thank you, Mary. And Killian,
you've
only just announced your participation in this today. So you'll be there alongside
me. I can't wait to meet these mystery players. Mary, you should start a business on just entering competitions on behalf of people.
Well, I wish I could win that other big competition on it.
Don't get greedy, Mary. Leave some for the rest of them.
I do. Right, thank you very much.
Right, you take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye. Unbelievable. Some people have got all the luck.
That's incredible.
See, if that was Mary though, right? It's all right saying she's not a golfer. I would be picking three golfers. They can Texas scramble themselves
and come up and
she just comes and enjoys and stays over at Cameron House, surely.
I totally agree. Get a wee buggy, come round, have a chat with us, have a good day. And as you quite rightly say, look at that, Cameron House as well. And chauffeur driven, can't beat it.
Well done again to Mary. Huge moment at Ibrox. There is a penalty to Rangers. It is Kobayashi, the former Celtic defender of all people. It is a VAR check for handball. He's dipped his head to try and header it. He sort of missed. It has come off his hand. What do you make of that?
I'm not buying that.
I think that's harsh.
I think that's very harsh.
But at the same time, he tries to header it and doesn't header it and
yeah,
it hits his arm.
The arm
isn't that outstretched, is it?
No, it's...
But then again,
it's not an unnatural position either. So I would need to see it again, Gordon, because I was so busy listening to you and Mary. But it's a great opportunity for Shankland, who's usually reliable from the penalty spot, to put this tie right to level peg in and put Rangers.
This
right
might give you a wee insight. Andy Halliday, and you know how he feels about Rangers, has just messaged to say he thinks that's harsh, the penalty.
So do I
think all handballs are generally harsh.
Here comes Lauren Shankland. It doesn't matter if the Rangers fans, and if you're a coefficient fan, if there are any of them around, you'll want all the Scottish teams to progress. Who am I kidding? As if they exist in this part of the country. Lauren Shankland down the middle and scores, and the tie is level. Rangers 1, Jagiellonia 0, and it's 2 all on aggregate.
Yeah, game on now. But I've got to say, I don't think that's the end of scoring, because I think the visitors look very dangerous. So Rangers need to tighten up at the back. Good start, 18, 19 minutes on the clock. They're level, so no excuses now. Hopefully for Rangers, they can go on and progress into the next round.
Yeah, I think that's what Rangers needed. Jagiellonia didn't need it. So as I was saying, that first 15, 20 minutes, when you're going away to teams like that, it's the thing you're always saying to the team and to yourselves, to just kind of, you want to try and quieten the crowd down. And I think Jagiellonia had a few chances where they probably had the fans a little bit on the players' backs, a little bit of nerves. But look, I think it hits his hand. It probably is a penalty. But I felt like he, in maybe a minute or two before that, he had a little bit of a reckless tackle where it was a needless foul he gave away in the build-up to it. By any means, I don't think the scoring is done.
See, just on the evidence of what I've seen, I think Rangers will need to score a few goals, because I think they'll score.
Gordon, he, like a lot of his teammates, and his manager, by the way, has had a bit of criticism already, but Lauren Shankland is the man you want in those types of scenarios. I know Rangers relied so heavily on James Tavernier at times, but Lauren Shankland, you can usually bank on him from 12
yards. Yeah, I was very confident when he took the ball there. He's usually reliable, putting the ball in the back of net for the penalty spot, Gordon. And it'll do him the world of good, because he really wants to start hitting the back of net. Everybody knows his reputation. Everybody knows he can score goals. But once you get your first one, you're off and running, and hopefully that'll be him ready to start his Rangers career scoring goals.
Couple of sniffs for Motherwell. Langelo hit the side netting this time after Maswanisi's cross, and then Maswanisi was played in behind, but the keeper managed to smother his shot. So hopefully Motherwell can follow Rangers' lead and take the lead in their game. Their level in the tie as it stands, so it would be a really nice boost if they could go ahead. Let me check in on Hibs. That's made it to half time goalless, so Hibs are still in front there. Rangers looking to try and add to that Lauren Shankland goal. Yuri Gassama, who's playing in that unfamiliar wing back role, driving forward, drawing a foul. And you know, we always talk about these kind of key moments in games, Gordon, because I know what you're saying about needing to score again. But if Rangers could follow that up, you know, lift the crowd are now lifted, go and try and get a second quickly, that would really, really put a different complexion.
Oh yeah,
on things.
Of course it would. Next goal's got to be so, so important, isn't it? You know, especially if Rangers get it, you're at home, as you quite rightly say, that atmosphere cranks up as well. Bit of confidence goes through the team. So really important, because if they lose it, we know that atmosphere changes very, very quickly. So it's looking a good game. I think both teams are obviously trying to attack, trying to get that important goal. But I do think that they're a threat, Gordon.
How alarmingly flat-footed was Nico Raskin when the ball broke there to allow that last chance?
My only worry would be Rangers. The goal is slightly fortuitous in how they get it. It's a penalty. It's a little bit unlucky, but other than that, not creating too much. There's a few like balls flashed across the box and sure. that, but I feel like Iagaloni look a little bit more of a threat
going forward. Agree. Yeah, but
they look more of a... like. You can see more of their style. You can see they're just... the goalkeeper's been doing it every time, just waiting for the Rangers to press on a little bit, and then I think just to expose the defenders. But they're kind of... they're stuck in a little bit of a position here where if they go a little bit too gung-ho and try and kill the tie before in the first half, I think they're leaving themselves pretty open.
Yeah, 23 gone, Rangers 1, Jagiellonia 0. Still no more to tell you about from Fir Park. Let's round off the teaser while we can and then keep the updates running right to the end of our show. So Derek McInnes is the most recent manager to manage a club he's also played for. Can you name the permanent managers to do it most recently for the other 11 Premiership sides?
Is Dundee United the only one we don't have?
No, we've got... I'm going to say Falkirk, Lee Miller.
Yes, well done.
And I'm going to say,
Dundee United.
Dundee United,
killing
no
me.
Idea. I said Craig Levein, but that was a stab in the dark.
No, are the MDLs still to get? Go on.
No, just Dundee United.
Dundee United. Who was the Dundee United? Right, Jackie Mack never. Did he play with Dundee United? No, I never played with Dundee United, did he?
You've done really well to get the rest. I don't know who texted you to say about Lee Miller. And
I swear I got them all myself.
What was
I
the one you got it. The other night that somebody blatantly messaged you?
Juan
Ortiz.
Yeah, but I told you I'm honest tonight. I got them all myself.
Okay.
Right.
Who was the last Dundee United manager to also play for the club?
How far back we gone?
Well, what if I told you he would also tick those boxes for Hearts? Not the most recent, but...
he would tick the box for Hearts.
So he's managed Hearts and played for Hearts. He's managed Dundee United and played for Dundee United.
Your man.
Your man.
Fullback.
Yeah.
He went to America.
Correct.
Nielsen.
Robbie Nielsen.
Well done. Written Robbie Nielsen for a different team.
For Hearts.
Yeah.
There you go, I told you. Rangers still one up. Seen anything else that the listeners need to know about before we go, Gordon?
No, I think the game's on its edge. I keep going back to it. Next goal, important. If Rangers just could get it before half time, what a boost that would give the Ibrox support and obviously the players and everybody concerned. But I just think they need to concentrate at the back. This team play with a bit of confidence. They play good football and they do look a threat.
Okay, still goalless at Fir Park. Hibs goalless at half time as well. So let's hope it's a positive end to the evening for the Scottish clubs. And whatever happens, we'll reflect on it tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your evening.